irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch, as you always are, live Fridays here on LA Talk Radio, 11 Pacific Standard Time, here in the City of Angels, and around the world. So nice to have you all with me today. It's always a great show. We're going to help you out a great deal today. I don't know if you follow my Twitter, looked on the LinkedIn, social media and stuff, but if you did, you kind of have a taste for what we're talking about today. It's about getting a little more conscious. Huh? What are you talking about, Dr. Michelle? You're crazy. I don't know. Well, a lot of people are talking about consciousness these days and what that means. And, you know, what does that mean when people say we have to become more conscious? Well, I mean, let me just ask you some questions. Maybe you can answer these with me. Can you remember details of what you saw out your window when you were driving to work this morning? Huh? Can you remember the details of what you did yesterday? Huh? How about what you did the day before? Okay, let me ask you this. What's the clearest memory you have of a week ago? So is it a singular memory or a general and blurry one, like kind of spending time at work? You just kind of zone through your day, right? You're zoning through your day and you're just kind of being a robot, right? So a lot of psychologists who are helping patients with what's called mindfulness therapy, which I do, suggest that many of us spend our lives kind of living in an insular trance, I would call it that. And what's kind of weird, and I hate to do the older thing, I hate to do that because it's all about state of mind, but it just seems like the older we get, the more our lives become like the predictive text on those cell phones, right? So we get so used to our routines, it's like no longer necessary to pay attention to the details. We've seen it all before, right? And we're kind of dulled, like with a broad view approach of life. That's kind of what it feels like sometimes. So what we're talking about today is really getting more conscious, kind of pulling things up so we remember stuff. And a lot of, you've heard me talk about a lot of the psychodynamic teachers who, you know, say that our minds have different levels of consciousness, and the conscious mind and the unconscious and the subconscious. And but, I mean, truly, you know, we have to pull these intuitive states up. We have to get in touch with some of the stuff that's been pushed down or repressed, as they say. And even Albert Einstein said, you know, the intuitive mind is a sacred gift, and the rational mind is a faithful servant. We have forgotten. We've created a society that honors the servant and doesn't know how to find the gift. Wow, that's exactly what we're talking about today, guys. So without further ado, let's bring up my special guest. Her name is Micheline Nader, and she's a healthcare entrepreneur with extensive experience in hospital administration, long-term care, and healthcare management. She received her doctoral degree in healthcare management from Paris Dauphine University. I don't think I did that very well. She was adjunct professor at one of the leading universities in France and is an expertise in complementary medicine and personal transformation. A very great resume or CV. Today, we're talking about her latest book, The Dolphin's Dance, Discover Your True Self Through a Powerful Five-Step Journey into Conscious Awareness. Micheline, how are you?
I am doing great. I'm so excited to be on your show, Dr. Michelle. I love it.
Oh, it's so nice to have you. I just talked to you, the real-life person here, after reading your book. It was good. I love those five steps. I love that journey. It was really helpful. And, you know, a lot of people are saying, that sounds really interesting. I know they're going to keep listening. Or if they're at their offices, they're going to put their little headphones on so the bosses won't get upset. But, you know, I'm trying to figure out, why did you name your book Dolphins Dance? I mean, you know, we love dolphins and they're peaceful creatures and they're more intelligent than we are. but why did you name your book that?
About 20 years ago, this is how my conscious awareness journey started. I had a series of dreams, repetitive dreams, every night. And every night, it would be with a different character, but it would be something good about me and something bad about me that got canceled. And I saw light in my dream. And these repetitive dreams ended, and after they ended, I was in a state, in a different state of consciousness, not knowing what was happening. But I was meditating, and in my meditation, I was meditating on my mission in life, and what am I going to do next? It was a transitional year for me, and back then we were living in Montreal. And I saw a dolphin, so I started laughing. What does this have to do with my mission?
Yeah.
Then I went to lunch with a friend who came in and brought me a dolphin statue.
Aww.
She said, I saw this and I needed to get you this. So after this, I started being intrigued by dolphins and researching them.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out a lot about them. I started swimming with them.
Wow.
The dolphin became a great metaphor of flow. And it's like the flow in our conscious awareness.
Mm-hmm.
It's dive. It's like when the dolphin dives, it appears, disappears, like the movement of conscious awareness.
Yes.
And then its brain, the three frontal lobes and the dolphins being able to sleep and stay awake reminded me of 3D conscious awareness. And I used the flip of the dolphin as a visual to transform my game in the moment. And its playfulness also became a big metaphor. The dance is an acronym, and really it's the dance of consciousness, and it represents the five steps of the dance. The D stands for discover your emotions, the A, awaken to your beliefs, the N, name your patterns, the cancel your polarities, and the E, embrace your true self. So that started my journey, and I felt there was nothing better that could really, really represent it than the dolphin stand.
Oh, that's cool. You know, I love that. That's really, you know, dolphins are, I mean, I was watching a program the other day, and they use something like, 5%, 10% more than we do in our brains because of their sensitivity. And, you know, they really do have a very sophisticated brain mechanism that goes on. And like you said, that sleep and wakefulness state that they can stay in and yet allow themselves to be super conscious and aware of what's going on around them. So I love that. That's really cool. So you
exactly like your introduction.
Well, there you go. Exactly. You know, Micheline, What was going on with you that you started dreaming? I mean, what's that about? Were those some unconscious or subconscious things that you wanted to find, you suppose? Or
actually, it was following a course that I had. It was a very... And I go into details in the book, and I tell the story. And that night, it was just a haphazard happening that... I slept. I was, a transitional year. And you know how the crisis is so important to us sometimes because it opens us up. So I was going through this, and I slept. And at night, I dreamt of me being very good to my mom because I did something very good to her. And yet, I yelled at her. But the two canceled each other, and from that cancellation came out light. And I woke up in the morning, and I was so relieved and happy and at ease. And the dreams continued for a while, but every day it was somebody else. It was like reviewing my own life.
Yes.
And I came to understand that we live life. from that point of view. Everything that we do in life is an action that we judge ourselves with.
Yes.
We were good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
And we live our life from that standpoint. Mm-hmm. We're good or bad, judging mm-hmm. all the time.
Absolutely.
We don't live our life from a neutral point. And that's the purpose of the Dolphin Stance, because at the end of the process, we get to a point of neutrality with the charges that we have
right.
towards our actions in life.
Mm, that's really nice. That's a great way to put it. By the way, in case you just tuned in here to LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle, and my special guest today is Micheline Nader. She's the author of her latest book, The Dolphin's Dance, Discover Your True Self Through a Powerful Five-Step Journey into Conscious Awareness. And that's what we're talking about, how to get there. You know, Micheline, a lot of people in their dreams, you know, dream researchers say in that REM state, that's where we're really processing and cleaning out a lot of our stuff in the unconscious, subconscious, whatever. We're working through issues and we're cleaning them up. And that's why we have such bizarre dreams. But I mean, yours sounded so clear and like you were really working through on a very, you know, straight conscious level. I mean, you were cleaning things up pretty well, and then you woke up feeling well. It was like, wow, you know, I'm more aware now. I think a lot of people don't get to experience, you know, that particular thing.
Yes, I'm really grateful for those dreams that I became a different person after that.
Wow.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, in your book, you know, it's a focus on the importance of conscious awareness. So I'm really interested in how you further define that. I mean, we sort of defined that, but how do we become more consciously aware?
For me, conscious awareness is a state of wakefulness of the mind. It's exactly what you described mm-hmm. As an introduction to the show. It is being aware of our own existence, our emotions, our feelings, our beliefs, our thoughts, our patterns. When this happens, we align our emotional and physical, mental, and spiritual being together. And we can start from where we are.
Mm-hmm.
It's not this big thing that we talk about that we can never access. Actually, through the Dolphin Stance process, we identify a lot of port of entry,
mm-hmm.
whether it's our emotional logo or our identity signature or our verdict or anything becomes a portal that will lead us to just become aware of what's happening moment by moment in our life.
Right.
It's simple.
Yes. It's simple, but it sounds complicated, but it really is simple. Hmm.
Yeah.
It really is. You know, and portals, it's just like so opening ourselves so we can become more aware and more in present, you know, moment and feel and joy and try to experience these things instead of being numb, you know, all the time. So it is really important. You know, something else psychologically that I love to work on with people is some of the messages that we get. You know, you talk about subconscious patterns and mental programming that stops us from achieving our dreams and our goals and happiness, things like that. So can you share with listeners a little bit more about where these patterns come from and why we buy into this? You know, what's going on here?
Our thoughts and beliefs create our actions. We know that by now. Our repetitive actions become our patterns of behavior.
Mm-hmm.
In the Dolphin Stance, we are interested in the major patterns which found their origin from our initial trauma as a survival strategy.
Mm-hmm.
So these repetitive behavior become our behavioral patterns.
Mm.
And these predominant patterns lead our life. They control our life. They become a control freak in our life.
Mm.
Of course, through these patterns we survive and
right.
and we become successful. But at the same time, they control us instead of us controlling them.
Mm-hmm.
So by uncovering our core pattern and knowing it and naming it and labeling mm-hmm. it, mm-hmm. it enables us really to have a control over it instead of it controlling us.
Mm-hmm. And you get into that, which I really like. I love the fact that you go step by step and have people. It's not difficult, you know, sort of have people write down things. It's like a workbook as well, but it's easy and comfortable. Become more aware of their thought patterns and things that they've bought into. And so we grow up and we're told, let's just make this up, by our parents or one of them or whoever our caregiver is, that we're not enough. We're not intelligent. We'll never amount to anything. They're usually projecting their own stuff onto us, but unaware we're these little souls soaking up this belief system that we think we are, you know, that way. So we're buying into the fact we're not good enough, or we have no identity in our thoughts and minds and all that. Doesn't matter. Who we are doesn't matter. So we grow up, and then we survive with all these belief systems, right? Trying to navigate. Gee, how can I navigate and become successful despite the fact I think I'm nothing? How can I have relationships? You know, so those survival strategies, like you said, do push us down, though, and in a way just sort of numbs us out because we don't want to think about the painful things, right? We just want to be numb and go through our day-by-day, you know, patterns that we have. So
Yeah.
So we, in these subconscious patterns, how, let's get into how we can access these patterns a little bit more. By the way, you're on LA Talk Radio, guys. You're on the couch here with Dr. Michelle and my special guest, Micheline Nader. She's the author of The Dolphin's Dance. It's a five-step journey into conscious awareness. If you have any questions, by the way, for Micheline, you can, of course, email me here. It's Doc Michelle at AOL, DLC Michelle with two L's at AOL.com. And go ahead and email me. I'm really holding off on a lot of the calls right now because what I'd like to do is get more into the book so Micheline can really help you out here, guys. But if you have a question or something, go ahead and email me. I'll pull it up and we'll tackle it. How's that? So let's get started with working through the book here. You talk about the importance of setting our intentions towards conscious awareness. How do we do that? What is that about, Micheline?
It is so important to set an intention for our process because despite it being a journey and not a destination, it's like setting our own GPS, like setting the direction in your GPS.
Mm-hmm.
Our intention becomes an attractor for our attention, and we know where our attention goes, energy flows. So it's mm-hmm. very important that we have a positive, clear intention and in the present
mm-hmm.
so we know what we want to achieve.
Hmm. I love that. All right. So we set our attention. We focus on you know, what we're going to achieve, and you give some tips as to how we can do that. Maybe you can just touch on some of those tips that we can utilize?
Yes. It's very important that we have our intention in the present and it's our intention to be clear. Since we're working with conscious awareness, I did not advise the reader to say, well, what I want to achieve is to get a car or to get married. Although this may happen,
mm-hmm.
and it will happen as a outcome of the conscious awareness but process. But I like it to be more general. That if I'm longing for love in my life, my intention would be, I am loving.
Mm.
So it becomes more like an intention, but an affirmation at the same time.
Right.
Because the present moment sets it in action as if it had happened in the energy.
Yes. No, that makes sense. You know, in affirmations, if we can really believe them, you know, the certain ones that really are okay with us, they are so powerful. You know, so that's a great idea to set those intentions. And in your five-stage process, you talk about, in the first stage, the importance of discovering our emotions. So why is this so important to, you know, bring those emotions to the surface?
Our emotions are really energy in motion, and they have the power to create, and it's like the fuel behind our engine.
Mm-hmm.
Emotions are physiological in nature,
yes.
And they're measurable. We can measure the physical factors,
yes.
The blood flow, mm-hmm. the heart, the pulse. What I've noticed, Dr. Michelle, is that despite knowing that I needed to change my belief, and I was able to change my belief in order to create my reality, mm-hmm. but I've noticed that there was something very stubborn about these negative emotions that we had.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned earlier on the show about this verdict that we have about ourselves.
Right.
And I found out that verdict actually was a result to a big, painful event in our life that marked our life.
Mm.
With that event, to mm. that event, the emotion, there was an emotion attached to it.
Mm, right.
That negative emotion was really a hub. It was like a vibrational anchor attracting more of the negative emotions and negative experiences.
Mm-hmm.
So what really happens, even when we know and we do positive affirmations and we know that we need to change and have more positive thinking to attract a positive reality,
yeah.
If our outer reality does not match our inner reality,
mm-hmm.
well, there is not a vibrational match. We're not going to attract that thing, and that happened to me.
Mm.
I felt that my negative emotion was so stubborn, and me being a stubborn entrepreneur, I wanted to find something that works, effective, mm. and
yes.
pragmatic.
Yes, exactly.
So that was very important.
Absolutely. So, you know, you talk about just kind of reliving or refeeling those, you know, painful events. The verdicts that we place on ourselves. I'm not worthy. I'm not intelligent. I'm not good enough. I don't know. Those are done through those markers. Or, you know, in psychology, sometimes we say flashbulb moments. You know, whether they're good or bad, we have these what are called flashbulb moments that are just sort of embraced and illuminated and stuck in our minds of the painful events, like you said, that we have experienced. Sometimes they're good, but most of the time they're like, oh, I remember when I was yelled at and I got hit and I was told and this and, you know, so those things are markers. Now, you're also talking about different things called stickers and vessels. So you have the painful event, which is a marker. What's a sticker and a vessel?
So, As you said, it's important. In the first step of the dance, we go back and relive through that moment, because that painful event, not because we want to dwell in it, because we want to extract that emotion that is attached to it and distinguish where does it act out.
Right.
So the painful event is attached, an emotion is attached to it that we call a sticker, because it sticks to us. It resurges hmm. every time a threat of a similar event occurs in our life.
Hmm.
So it's very important to distinguish it, because whenever we become aware of this emotion in our daily life, we know that this emotion has been triggered by this past experience.
Hmm.
And we notice that this emotion that I call sticker actually resides in some part of our body. That's why sometimes we're sick and we don't know why.
Yes.
For the longest time, I had a sickness in my stomach. Actually, I had a gastric ulcer that
wow.
I couldn't explain.
Right.
Because my painful, my negative emotions resided in my stomach.
Yeah.
When
yeah, yeah,
I became aware of that marker, sticker, and vessel, I was able to shift my sickness without medication. I don't have an ulcer. I don't have stomach pain. Mm. I don't have any of this anymore because I became aware of it. Mm. I was able to shift it.
Wow. So you became aware of it and sort of you started managing it through your thought process and your steps to, you know, just sort of become more consciously aware of what's going on. And because, I mean, you know, obviously stress and distress and depression and anxiety and all that, of course, can manifest itself in different aspects of the body. And like you said, you had ulcers, not good. But I mean, that's basically a lot of, you know, what's going on in our bodies is what is going on in our minds. And so good. So you got that. And so the vessel was important for you to identify. Because
to identify that buddy part, the vessel was once I realized that sometimes even if I realize, oh, my stomach is tightening, mm-hmm. I have a tingling sensation, I stop and I immediately go back,
right,
and I see that whatever I'm living through right now is triggering that painful emotion.
Yes.
That verdict.
Yes.
I'm not good enough, or I can't make it on my own.
Right.
Then immediately I know that my reaction is not a reaction to what's happening right now in the moment. It's a reaction to the past.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming from that ego. So immediately I can shift it just by becoming aware of it.
Hmm. I love that. And we can talk a little bit more about those steps and some of the advice that you give to people. By the way, in case you just tuned in here to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, my special guest today is Micheline Nader. She's the author of her latest book. It's called The Dolphin's Dance, Discovering Your True Self Through a Powerful Five-Step Journey into Conscious Awareness. And this is psychological, a lot of this. It is proven techniques, you know, in my estimation, that have really, you know, helped people become more aware of their lives, what they want, open themselves up and, you know, stop being such a robot and numbing ourselves to the everyday, you know, routines that we have to deal with. So let's talk about uncovering our marker, okay? So the marker, that's that painful event. Can you walk us through that exercise, too, that you share in your book, how we can do that?
Yes. So in the dolphin's dance is experiential. So each chapter has a concept. It has my story as an example,
right,
of this. And then I invite the reader to dive in for his own experience.
Mm.
So the prerequisites for each exercise in the book is the first one, which is creating the clear lagoon. And by creating the clear lagoon, we create a state of relaxation, which is actually a visualization technique, but it gets us deep into this relaxed state. A lot of what we deal with is from is hidden in our subconscious.
Yes.
And to get it to the surface, it's important to get into this state of relaxation. Of course, if I am with Dr. Michelle on a couch, mm-hmm. I could ask her to lead me into hypnotherapy. But if I want to do my own hypnotherapy,
right,
then I have to get into this state of relaxation. So, I won't be able to go through all of this during our short time on the show, but I could give the reader a little glimpse of that. So what we do, we start breathing deeper and deeper, and we use counting the breath as mm-hmm. a technique because it keeps us focused. And then I use a technique also of, I love to use the white light when I go deep into my relaxation because I feel that it gets into all the parts of my body. It gets into this warmth and love, and it creates this relaxation in the moment. So we start breathing deeper and deeper and visualizing light through our body and closing our eyes. Of course, we read the exercise before because we want to have these questions in our mind mm-hmm. as we go deeper and deeper. And then as we breathe deeper, we start asking the question about what was that most painful earth-shattering event that occurred in our life. Mm. And we pause and we breathe. And then we go and ask ourselves the questions, what happened? When did it happen? Why did it happen? How did we feel back then about it? How do we feel right now? And we feel it. We get into the sensory description. Mm. And then when we open our eyes, we journal. So mm-hmm. we write about these experiences that came rushing into our mind. Mm-hmm. Sometimes more than one a painful event comes in. Mm-hmm. If we can remember the earliest one, we're going to discover that the earliest one was the most, not only, perhaps not the most painful, but perhaps that emotion was the same one that got triggered in the later ones at like what happened with me. Mm-hmm. My childhood event was when my dad had a bankruptcy and he had to leave us and leave the country.
Yeah.
And I felt this big loss and I felt, oh, I can't make it without him.
Yes.
And then a year later, he developed cancer and I lost him through death.
Aww.
Although the earliest one, created my emotional logo.
Right.
The second one, when I lost him through death, it was the same emotional logo.
Right. Right.
That got triggered and more intense.
Yes.
So as we go through life and we have more painful events, these emotions get more painful and more painful. And at times, through our, we get into a midlife crisis or the dark night of the soul where here we get into a big breakdown, and this is where we can come face to face with this.
Yeah, you know, that's really a wonderful technique, Micheline, because I agree that we do need to face, you know, some of those feelings and be able to get in touch with them, bring them up, and it's okay to feel it. It's okay to cry. It's okay to... Really, it's a cleansing, you know. God gave us the ability to cry, cleanse, and feel these things so we can process, get through, and move on. They'll always sort of touch on us and be there, but being more aware of them really helps us manage them and cope better when things in life in the future, which ring similarities, hit us, and we don't react that same way. So...
Absolutely.
I loved your thank you so much, Micheline, for being you know, so open about your experience and everything, which you share a lot in your book, which I love. So your message, you know, your emotional logo was oh my gosh, I fear someone's going to have to leave me. I fear loss of a loved one. I fear, you know, so you kind of get through these feelings and then sort of you write down the true feelings. And then after that, there's another process that you talk about. What is that?
So after that, after discovering this emotional logo, then we go and see, okay, what was my strategy of survival? From that verdict, for example, for me, from the verdict that I can't make it on my own, then I had a strategy, a game plan, because, see, life was good when you were a child. Everything was happening, and we did not, you know, care about anything else. And then all of a sudden, this event happens, and, oh, my God, I can't survive.
Yeah.
I can't survive on my own. My dad, my God, that back then has disappeared. How can I make it? So, and then I went into this, sentencing myself, this is the verdict, is I can't make it on my own, and my strategy, I need to survive. Mm-hmm. So my game plan to mask the verdict was that I became the superwoman.
Yes.
I not only took care of myself, took care of my siblings, took care of everybody around me, mm-hmm. because I wanted to survive.
Yes.
This action, this proof of identity that I started to have, this became a pattern. And this became my core pattern to be a superwoman.
Right.
And but I didn't have a choice in the matter.
Yes.
Because it came from a place of fear. It came from a verdict.
Yeah.
And then when I discovered that, then I was able to control it. Then I have a choice. I have a choice to be a superwoman and be very successful. And I have a choice right now not to do it.
Right.
Because I love myself.
Yes.
The way I am.
Yes. You have a choice to not be everyone's caregiver, to not be the superwoman and try to do everything because that's just who your soul is. I mean, that's what you're about. Or you have a choice to not be that. You have a choice to do whatever you want to do. You feel like taking a hike, for half a year, you know, into some wonderful I don't know, mountains around the world. You know, you get to do what you want to do and shut all that down and live your life and find yourself. Yeah.
Exactly. So the first three steps are about really self-discovery and awareness and naming all this. The last two steps of the dance are about our opportunity to act on them, and this is where the shift happens. Mm. A lot of people have done a lot of work on themselves, and they got stuck into, like, okay, this is my verdict, and then how can I shift it?
Yeah.
So, and this came from the dream, canceling the polarities, was canceling the charge, the negative charge behind our verdict, the negative charge behind our patterns, the negative charge behind our beliefs. So, and gets us into a place of neutrality. So this is our opportunity to act on them and shift them.
Mm-hmm.
And the fourth step of the dance, canceling polarity, is where the real shift happens.
Mm.
This is where the soul becomes active. This is where we can even, using this new tool, we can replace these patterns, the old patterns, with a new one, the one that is transformative, the one that is shifting that negative charge from our experience.
Wow. I'm going to just read a wonderful quote, exactly what you're talking about. You say, you may ask, if a positive emotion is good, why would I want to cancel it? You know, that's a good question, because the answer is that when things are going well and you're feeling positive, there's no need to cancel anything. But when things are going bad and we're feeling caught in negativity, charged emotions, you know, we can use their positively charged opposites to cancel them out. And that'll kind of release us into that transcendence, into a better state. That is so true. And that, you know, a lot of that too, Micheline, is sort of like those cognitive shifts, you know, in cognitive therapy that we use. It's just canceling out a negative with emphasizing the positive. And the more we emphasize the positive things we like and experiences and good things that have happened, those other negativities that just keep kind of popping up seem to diminish, don't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And we start living our life from this neutral place where even we're beyond good and bad.
Mm.
So by canceling a negative charge, what I got in my life was a total forgiveness.
Wow.
I started loving myself. I forgive myself for everything I've done. Because guess what? If I've done something negative, I've done so much positive that canceled it out.
Yes.
And if I live my life from a standpoint of I am my verdict, it's not authentic.
Yes.
Because I can't prove it for real.
Right. It's so true. No, that's really well said. And it's almost like you said, we become the observer rather than, you know, just feeling these negative feelings. We observe, you know what, that's the reality is I have a lot of wonderful things going on, and I do really forgive myself for a lot of the things that I've beat myself up for which are based a lot on those negative messages we got growing up. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not whatever. So we get beyond there. You said that's another level of getting to the next stage of forgiveness, and it's okay. It's really okay. And you know, that is such a healing thing.
It is beautiful.
Yeah.
And getting to that deep love of our true nature mm-hmm. is actually getting into this deep love of conscious awareness and consciousness as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to me when I got into the state of neutrality and love, you remove all the blockages.
Yeah.
So you create space within yourself to connect to higher consciousness mm-hmm. and conscious awareness as a big C. Because what happens, I was flowing. I became mm-hmm. the dance
yes.
instead of the dancer.
Yes, exactly.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I was attracting to me every action that had to do with my dance. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, I stopped asking myself, what is my purpose?
Mm-hmm.
Because my purpose revealed itself. It was here all the time with me. But I covered it with so many things.
Yes.
And now all of a sudden, everything that I've done that I love doing, I did more of it.
Mm.
And that was my mission.
We have to allow ourselves to do that stuff, don't we? It's hard to kind of get through the clutter and allow ourselves the fun stuff in life, huh?
And yes, and then we go back to your introduction that I love.
Oh, thank you.
Where now life occurs differently.
Mm.
I see the tree with a different color.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
I see the sunset. I appreciate the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And if I am not living today my present, I know mm-hmm. that the reason why I'm not always in the present is because I'm triggered by a past emotion
yeah.
or preoccupied by a future one based on my previous experience. So I know, when I know,
mm-hmm.
I can get into shifting it and getting back to playing
mm-hmm.
and dancing and be happy.
Yes. Yes, exactly. In one of your exercises, Micheline, you talk about how we need to sometimes ask ourselves, are we a victim? Are we really a victim of all these things that happened in our lives that, you know, made us feel badly about ourselves? And what do you think about that?
I really believe that we are not a victim to mm. anything.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there are atrocities
mm.
sometimes and a very hard traumas, and we were subject to things by others.
Mm. Yes.
If we live into that victim consciousness, we become victims ourselves, and we cannot break through that.
Mm-hmm.
So it in our inner space mm-hmm. becomes filled with bitterness.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't make the space to master our circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
Now, without excusing what people did to us or the circumstances in our life,
mm-hmm.
without getting them off the hook, it gets us off the hook ourselves if we start focusing on the lessons
mm-hmm.
that we derived from that experience.
Hmm.
And we know today.
Yes.
Would I want to give up?
Yes.
All the things that were painful in my life?
Hmm.
I tell you, if you ask me this question right now, I tell you no.
Hmm.
Without them, I would not have been who I am today.
Yeah.
The dolphins' dance process would have never been written. And the contribution of this process would not have happened if I did not live my painful event.
Mm.
So in that regard, would I consider myself a victim of circumstances? Or by shifting my consciousness in saying, wow, I am so grateful for these lessons. I am so grateful to these wounds that I have deep in me, because from these wounds, I can feel with other people, and mm-hmm. I can heal
yes.
from these deepest wounds.
Mm-hmm.
This forgiveness is not a favor mm-hmm. to others. It's really an act of kindness towards ourselves.
Mm. Yes.
And from it, we forgive the others because mm. we're forgiving ourselves.
Yes. Yes.
And we're not victims.
Yeah. And that word, you know, it always does have sort of a negative connotation, the idea of being a victim of others. I mean, you know, we are sort of innocent souls coming into this world, but we sort of, you know, base who we are, again, on our environment and the messages people give us. But you're right, Micheline, if we look at ourselves as, you know, not victims, but, you know, people who are growing, learning through their journey as to what they don't want and what they do want out of life.
Yeah.
And using your technique in your book, The Dolphin's Dance, is really wonderful to discover those things and get in touch with our old feelings that we shove down and become more conscious. I just love that. And there's a lot of reparenting going on. You know, we're loving ourselves that the way we needed to be loved always. And I'm not blaming mom and dad or anything. I'm not doing that. I'm just saying, you know, we just move through, and it's all about our internal belief system about who we are, right?
Right, and there is nothing wrong identifying that this came from my mom because she told me I was a monster.
Yeah.
Not my mom, but I know somebody.
Sure.
So there is nothing. But forgiving mm-hmm. Your mom because she didn't know what she was doing mm-hmm. and mastering this is beautiful.
It is beautiful, you know, having that awakening and understanding the psyche behind those who hurt us in our lives, whoever they are, that, you know, may have been intentional, you know, but if we understand where they came from and the pain they're in, it somehow helps us reconcile, you know, we're the more rational, we're on a little higher level, you know, to be able to say, I get it. I get why they were so much in pain and they projected that onto me. I get it. And I don't have to be that, which they said I am. Right?
Yeah.
So,
and it's important to cut that cord because as long as we have this bitterness, mm-hmm. we're attached to that story and, mm-hmm. and we have this bitterness inside of us where we don't have space for love in our life. We can't love another person if we mm-hmm. don't love ourselves. And we cannot forgive another person if we can't forgive ourselves.
Yeah.
It's just, you can't give something you don't have.
Yes. And I'm sure in your work too, Micheline, you know, you've heard people, I can't even love myself. I don't even like myself, you know. So I know you, you know, help people and walk them through that, you know, self-discovery of why shouldn't you love yourself? Why not? And let's get with it. And by the way, in your book, I love the way you do take, you know, the time to explain all that stuff that we buy into and how to get rid of it through the five-step journey into, you know, being more consciously aware. So by the way, folks, it's a very comfortable read and it's easy to follow. It's not complicated, deep, you know, wordiness that you have to work on all these journals and try to figure out. Pretty straightforward and simple and great, you know, instructions as well that you give, Micheline. So I really appreciated that. I love that in a book. Gets right to it and helps people, you know, get on their journey to just feeling better and learning who they are. So where can people find out more about you and pick up your book, Dolphin's Dance, Micheline?
So they can go on my website, thedolphinsdance.com
yep.
or michelinenader.com, michelinenader. They can buy the book at amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, or Balboa Press.
Mm-hmm.
And we have, if they visit my website, we have, they can download the workbook for free.
Yay.
That becomes their journal. They can read the blogs. They can also listen to some interviews and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to communicate with them because I would want to, you know, start writing my next book, and the feedback is so important.
Yes.
I'm getting wonderful feedback from the readers, and I love that.
Oh, super. That's great. Well, Micheline, it's about that time. We've got to get going here, but thank you so much for being a terrific guest and for all you do for everyone and your
thank
book.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Michelle, for you too, and I love your show and what you do as well.
Oh, thanks. So much appreciated. Take good care and look forward to reading your next book.
Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye now. All right, guys, we got to scoot. We got to get going here. And in case you would like to hear the show again, of course, it's available in the archives tomorrow with all the information about Micheline's book, as well as on iTunes podcasts on the couch. All those are for free, by the way, which is kind of a cool thing. All right, thanks so much for listening, everybody. Get into your own conscious and awareness today. Snap out of it. That's my therapy, rather. Snap out of it. Don't forget, too, that you really have to take care of yourself first, and then you'll be great for other people in your life, and that's the way it works. I'll be back next week with another fabulous author. We're talking about healing your relationships and yourself, too. Have a good one. Bye-bye now.
Got you on my mind again tonight. Flashing rays of colored light.